You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you. Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Don Guerra.
And I'm Leah Carter. This is the Daily Local News for Tuesday, July 18th, 2017.
Even close family can have a feeling that, I can't bear this anymore, you know?
Later in this episode, WFHB correspondent Arjun Balasundaram speaks with Alzheimer's patients, caretakers, and family members as they raise money for the Alzheimer's Association in Bryant Park.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Area 10 Agency on Aging's Amy O'Brien talks about delivering 6,000 bags of groceries to homebound seniors on Everyday People, a weekly segment aimed at improving the lives of older adults and people with disabilities in Monroe County. But first, these local headlines.
Indiana's Democratic Senator Joseph Donnelly is facing criticism from state and national GOP members over his brother's California-based business. The criticism comes after Donnelly partnered with U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin on a tax reform proposal, dubbed the End Outsourcing Act. An Associated Press expose published last Friday found Donnelly was invested in his brother's stamp manufacturing company, which operates a factory in Guadalajara, Mexico. Republicans were quick to seize on the AP story to attack the Democratic senator. Yesterday, the Republican National Committee began running an attack ad against Donnelly, featuring dramatic music and quotes from the AP story over a speech Donnelly gave against Indianapolis manufacturer Carrier's decision to move a factory to Monterrey, Mexico.
Here's the truth. They were making more dollars of profit on each dollar they had than ever before in history. And they fired you for $3 an hour wages in Mexico. That's what they did. You know what we call that? They're a bunch of free riders. What they want to do, they want to pay $3 an hour in Mexico and then ship those products back to America to people who are making decent wages.
On Friday, Donnelly's office issued the following statement, quote, "Some folks in Washington want to make the stock I've owned in my brother's company into a distraction from our work to end outsourcing and keep American jobs here instead of shipping them to other countries. I won't let them distract us, so I'm selling the stock in my brother's company, a company I haven't had an active role in for 20 years, unquote. The 61-year-old graduate of Notre Dame has served as a U.S. senator since 2013. In a statement to WFHB, the Indiana Democratic Party said they support Senator Donnelly and have backed his 2018 re-election campaign.
Richland Bean Blossom School Corporation is taking steps to promote a positive image of the school system through a new branding campaign. Superintendent Mike Wilcox told the school board during their meeting yesterday that the district is considering purchasing commercial advertising space.
On State Road 37 and the new I-69, we are looking at possibly two, if not three, billboards highlighting and branding the great things we're doing here, particularly, obviously, our name. Also that we have four-star schools, 2013 the high school and 2016 the junior high school here, four-star schools. We are an A-rated corporation. And, of course, now enrolling.
The Richmond Bean Blossom School Corporation's long-range planning committee recently recommended that the school board include branding in its strategic plans as a tactic for increasing enrollment. As part of a branding strategy, Wilcox said the corporation's promotional video has been updated and that a 30-second version is currently playing in local movie theaters. The promotional video can be found on the school corporation's website. The Richland Bean Blossom School Board is also considering acquiring a 3-tiered band tower from Educational Steel Products in Noblesville, Indiana. Superintendent Wilcox explained the need for a band tower during the school board's meeting yesterday.
If we do renovate our athletic facilities outside here and are able to host regional and district competitions, there's still Monday nights to where we have JV football games, Thursday nights to where we have junior high football games. This would still give our band an area to practice on those nights, that there would be no conflict. And also, if we are able to, again, host district and regional competition Saturdays, that would give a great warm-up place for all schools that are participating.
Edgewood High School Principal Dirk Ackerman said he favored placing the band tower near the front of the school, which drew complaints that it would detract from the high school's architecture.
I'm pretty protective of how well the architect designed the building, so I really wouldn't want to do anything to ruin the front of the building. It's a super great-looking building. But I just think that consideration for not giving up the parking spaces, it's a much better location for the band if they're off the parking lot than if they would be sitting on the parking lot.
Unconcerned about losing parking spaces, Wilcox and board members favored placing the tower on the east side of the school's parking lot away from the building. Wilcox said parents of band members have raised $7,500 toward the cost of the band tower. The Richland Bean Blossom School Board is also being asked to consider updating its lunch policy. However, the proposed revisions to the school district's lunch policy will not be brought up until the board's August 21st meeting. The request to update the school corporation's lunch policy comes after public outcry overturned Monroe Community School Corporation's so-called lunch-shaming policy.
A new Indiana law could prevent so-called water wars between Indiana and Kentucky, according to New Albany's News and Tribune. House enrolled Act 1211 sets up the Trans-Border Water Resources Authority, which will assess who has rights to water resources shared among Indiana and neighboring states. The Water Resources Authority panel, established in the law, can also broker agreements between states. The Water Resources Authority will be made up of 4 members of the General Assembly, 4 from the Indiana Department of Natural Resources, and 4 individuals appointed by the governor. The driving force behind the creation of the authority is that Clark County, Indiana, and Louisville, Kentucky share an aquifer, an underground body of permeable rock that can hold or transmit water. The aquifer in question is very abundant, and with both Clark County and Louisville having large factories and commercial centers, a lot of water is needed. State Representative Stephen Stemler wrote Act 1211 to avoid any kind of legal issue.
Between Tennessee and Mississippi, they have the exact same issue in terms of they share a water aquifer underneath their both states, so it transcends the state line. They are in a substantial lawsuit now over millions of dollars of not only who owns the water, but actually the revenue that's been derived by taking water out of it. They need to compensate each other for the water that they've used that they thought was theirs.
Stemler's law was the first in the state to address interstate below-ground water. It received unanimous support when proposed. Stemler is now looking forward to the next step.
Well, the ultimate goal, now that our legislation has passed, and I've already been working with my counterparts in Frankfort, Kentucky, the legislators there, and they are supportive of this concept, so now the goal is to move forward and say, okay, look, we're asking you to jointly work in tandem with us to devise an authority, if you will, from Kentucky's standpoint, and then we work together, and out of those two entities, we would develop best practices and understandings and have a compact, an agreement, which is still yet to be designed. Obviously, you don't want to damage the aquifer by drawing down too much in a drought season, and then just really, I think, good communications, too, about what you anticipate your usage is going to be if you do have success in bringing in a large automotive plant or something like that that's going to be a big water user.
Stemler said Kentucky is now aiming to have a similar law ready for their next legislative session. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Leah Carter.
And I'm Don Guerra. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar. a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generational systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Over 5.5 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's disease, according to the Alzheimer's Association. With the majority of that population over the age of 60, people living with Alzheimer's often need help from caretakers, friends, and family. WFHB correspondent Arjun Balasundaram visited a fundraising event for the upcoming Walk to End Alzheimer's, which is scheduled for September 24th. He brings us this story for today's WFHB Community Report.
The kickoff party for the Walk to End Alzheimer's initiative was held at Bryan Park. The walk on September 24th will be a circular route starting and ending at Bryan Park and consist of a 1-mile loop and a 3-mile loop. Rebecca Nunley, chairman of the planning committee for the walk, hopes to have close to 1,000 people attend and wants to spread the word about the severity of Alzheimer's and dementia.
So the walk really is about raising funds and also raising awareness for dementia and Alzheimer's disease in the community, and working towards trying to find a cure, working towards educating people and providing support for those families who are living with the disease.
On the day of the walk, Nunley said there will be a carnival atmosphere around the event with food, drinks, games, sticky tattoos for kids, and face painting available for walkers and bystanders alike. Nunley said fundraising will continue until the day of the walk.
The fundraising is all for the Alzheimer's Association, but then they use the funds for three different things. They use it for research towards a cure. They use it towards education for the community and letting people know about the disease and how to. And its effects, and they use it for support.
The kickoff party was attended by families of people living with Alzheimer's and others who wanted to register for the walk. The party hosted activities for children on the Bryan Park lawn. Janice Gerkensmeyer lives with Alzheimer's disease and has been living away from her family at an Alzheimer's home called Jill's House.
The things I forget, I can always kind of figure around them, you know, so it usually isn't obvious, and but it takes a little extra work than if I didn't have Alzheimer's and dementia, and I know that I'm getting better. I'm the medications that I was on have been changed. Part of that has made me actually feel happier and better.
Gerkensmeyer, who has a doctorate in psychiatric nursing, described the challenges faced by caretakers of people like her.
I think unless you've had the experience and worked through some things around that, it can be pretty threatening. Some of the behaviors can be bizarre, not always. Even close family can have a feeling that, you know, I can't bear this anymore, you know. So, it's a challenge.
Wendy Rubin, whose husband was diagnosed with the disease in 2009, has been a part of this walk since September 20th, 2013, 5 days before her husband passed away.
My children, our children were very caring, and they both lived out of town, one in California and one in Madison, Wisconsin at the time. But when they would come and visit, they would talk to him, and as though he were, I mean, he's their dad, and they loved him and were very kind and gentle with him, to which he responded. But we have pictures on the refrigerator of our family of children and grandchildren, and he actually didn't recognize them in their pictures. And they would say their name, "Hi, Dad, I'm your daughter Elizabeth," or "I'm your son Peter." And you know, he would hug them and kiss them, but it didn't stay with him who they were. And after a time, he didn't know who I was either. He did not know I was his wife. He thought I was a friend. One day he said to me, you know, if I were to ever going to get married, I'd want to marry you, which I thought was very sweet.
The kickoff party for the walk to end Alzheimer's included a message board on which people wrote encouraging words for people living with the disease. Erin Kingsead, whose father has been living with Alzheimer's, stressed the difficulties involved in taking care of family members living with the disease.
It's really hard to take care of someone that's suffering from Alzheimer's. For us, it was really, really difficult to keep him at home. We had to end up moving him to a nursing home because of just the safety precautions that we had to take. So for us, it was really, really important that we moved him somewhere where he would be safe and comfortable, because having him home just as a risk of him walking out, we don't know where he's going to end up, and also just safety precautions like setting fires to the house or other kinds of stuff like that.
Kingsead has also been the largest fundraiser for the walk in Bloomington for the past 2 years.
My favorite thing is just the Promise Garden ceremony, which is nationwide with Alzheimer's Association, but it's really, really cool to see everybody hold up their different colored flowers. The orange one is for if you're just there. The purple one is if you've lost someone to the disease. Yellow means you're a caregiver. And then blue is if you are living with the disease. And it's really, really impactful seeing the people with the blue flowers always raise it, because they're living with it and they make the effort to come fight for their disease.
Heather Kindertein is a caretaker at Jill's house. She said, a lot of what happens at Jill's house is uplifting.
Watching one another comfort each other, and families, they were playing music spontaneously, and just everybody, even the person who, the family, when they moved her in, they said, oh, I can't remember the name they used. It was something like curmudgeon. They said that she's a little bit of a, but when the music's playing, she's tapping her cane and smiling. In the evenings, they sit next to each other on the couch and watch movies, and they're all cuddled up with the blankets. They're making paper airplanes and throwing them off the balcony. You know, every day there's just heartwarming things that happen.
Door prizes were given at the Walk to End Alzheimer's kickoff for the most team members attending, the most funds raised to date, the most new team members signing up at the kickoff, and the most creative name. Two teams and about 15 people registered for the walk at the party. People can also register on the day of the walk or through www.alz.org. Kingsead urged people to pay more attention to the widely prevalent medical condition.
What has to be known is Alzheimer's can affect anybody. It could be someone that's 20 years old. It could be someone that's 90 years old. You just never know. And with the growth of the disease, it's important to get involved or try to make an effort to stop it, because there's a statistic out there that I think like really sticks with me. It's 1 in 6 people will be affected by Alzheimer's in like the next 20 years. And if you think about that, that means at least in your lifetime, you will meet someone that's affected by it. And it's important to get involved or to be aware of what it is, just because everyone will deal with it at some point.
Reporting for WFHB, I am Arjun Balasundaram.
The Walk to End Alzheimer's will take place on September 24th in Bryan Park.
Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. For information on Smithville's home automation service, it's available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Coming up next, WFHB's weekly community resources segment, Everyday People.
Don't mess around. I got eyes all over town.
Welcome to Everyday People, improving the lives of older adults and people with disabilities in Monroe County.
Everyday resources for everyday people. Connecting our community by sharing resources you need, want, and probably don't know about.
We want to welcome Amy O'Brien today. Amy is the Nutrition Outreach Coordinator with Area 10 Agency on Aging.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. Can you tell us what you do and what are some of the things that you might be in need of right now?
Sure. A big part of my job is running our mobile food pantry program. We deliver 2 sacks of groceries to 250 homebound senior citizens every month. That's over 6,000 bags of groceries a year.
Amazing.
It's a big job. We have about 50 volunteers that help us accomplish that on a monthly basis. And right now we're looking for drivers to assist us with that. We're needing 4 drivers. It's just a monthly route, once a month. Usually the route is about 7 clients and it takes about 1.5 hours. You'll have the same clients each month. You'll get to know those clients, get to know your route. A lot of times they develop relationships, mm-hmm. and a lot of times that's really the main social interaction that they have during a month.
Right, and I know that that's important, that social interaction, and especially for older adults who may not get out that often, having a familiar face is an important part of that.
Absolutely. And by delivering groceries, we're really able to supplement a variety of nutritious foods. So if they're getting meal delivery, this is going to provide them an opportunity to have a little bit of fruit, a little mm-hmm. bit of some vegetables that they can work into their diet overall and really improve their overall nutrition.
Is there an area that people could pick? Say I live on the west side and I want to do a route on the west side. Is that possible?
Absolutely. I arrange all the routes so they're as geographically tight as possible to make it convenient for the drivers so that they're not having to drive over town. They are volunteering not only their time, but the wear and tear on their vehicle and the gas. You know, so we really want to make that as convenient for the volunteer as possible.
What are the requirements if you want to be a volunteer?
If you want to be a volunteer, we have a volunteer application on our website, area10agency.org. You just fill out the application. They do run a background check. Then I'll call you and we'd have a conversation about mm-hmm. what might be a good fit. You'd come in and do a little bit of an orientation, and that's all there is to it.
That sounds easy enough.
Very easy.
And you need 4 volunteers.
I should mention that it is during the day. We're looking for people okay. that would have availability in the 10 to 2 o'clock range, but just once a month.
And what's the time commitment? You want someone who can do this for many months, for as long as possible.
Absolutely.
Probably.
We're looking for long-term volunteers that are going to be very stable in that and hopefully develop relationships with the clients that they're seeing on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think this sounds something that would be really fun to do with a friend. So you need 4 volunteers. Mm-hmm. Is that 2 routes then?
That's 4 routes. If people wanted to, and we do have people that do it as kind of friends, you know, friends get together and then they go out to lunch mm-hmm. after they've done their route and that sort of thing. So it definitely can be multiple people. We also have some routes where 2 people have taken it on together and they each do it every other week. And so it's less of a time commitment for them.
Oh, that's great. You provide food for animals, is that right?
We do. We get donations of pet food. We don't always have it available. We always send out whatever we do have available. But when a client or a potential client does an application, we ask them if they have a pet. And we keep track of that information. And then every month, if we do have the appropriate food available for their pet, then we do send that out with their delivery as well. And that's extremely important because a lot of people will spend money on food for their pet rather than for themselves.
Sure.
So it really helps make sure that not only the pet is well fed, but that the client is using that food for themselves.
Tell us again how we can reach you for those people wanting to volunteer.
You can go to our website, which is area10agency.org, or if you want to call me directly, 812-935-2535.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on Everyday People.
Tune in next week for more information and resources that connect everyday people to everyday resources. For WFHB, I'm Courtney Stewart.
And I'm Stacey Goffinay.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Cole Stinson and Wes Martin, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Arjun Balasandram.
Everyday People is produced by Courtney Stewart and Stacey Goffinay. Our engineer is Megan Wade. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, I'm Leah Carter.
And I'm Don Guerra. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@WFHB.org.
If you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
Stay tuned for Interchange, Bloomington Community Radio's longest-running public affairs program, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.